Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. There is so much new research out about the benefits of nature on our mental and physical health. Going for a walk can greatly improve your mood and energy levels, but the natural world is not accessible to everyone. People with disabilities are often excluded from accessing the outdoors, especially beaches and hiking trails. In the new documentary, The Accessible Outdoors, several disability rights advocates share their stories and talk about the importance of having access to nature. Some people in the film use the Freedom Tracks apparatus. That is a portable attachment for motorized wheelchairs that moves across sand, snow, and gravel. Here is a clip from the documentary, The Accessible Outdoors.
I was shot out of carjacking. That's how I ended up in my chair. Just happened to be at the wrong place with the wrong car. That was in 1998, a week before Christmas. The trails that I used to hike on and camp on in the Sierras with my family, most of them are inaccessible for people with disabilities.
You know, people say, well, how did you overcome your disability? And I say, well, I didn't. You overcome something and it's gone. I'm always going to be living with my disability. So I just prefer to say that I've learned to live with it.
People that have a disability, they're a human being just like someone who's walking. And someone who's walking wants the ability to experience things, hiking, surfing, traveling. Why wouldn't someone in a wheelchair want that?
I think as you begin to meet more people who are different than ourselves, we get to recognize the value of those individual people and how the outdoors is something that many people really want to be able to participate in.
Being full of health for humans means being connected with nature. We grew up and evolved in nature as a species, and we are nature.
That is a trailer for the documentary, The Accessible Outdoors. The film is co-produced by the Nature Track Foundation, an organization dedicated to promoting a lifelong fascination with nature through outdoor field trips. The film will screen at the Green Film Festival in San Francisco, which runs from April 14th through April 24th, and you can watch it online. Joining us to discuss the film are two guests. Michka Saberi is co-producer of The Accessible Outdoors and a documentary with Golden Cage Films in Los Angeles. Hi, Michka. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for making such an incredible documentary.
Hi, thank you so much for having us. I'm really excited to be here.
Great to have you. Sue Eisiger is founder and director of the Nature Track. She founded Nature Track in 2011 to provide outdoor field trips for students to connect with nature. Until recently, they did not have a way to include students, teachers, or volunteers with disabilities. They found the Freedom Tracks device to ensure that everyone can independently enjoy beaches and trails. The new Tracks program is available for all ages and is free. Hi, Sue. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having us today.
Well, great to have you, Sue. I just have to say, I mean, every story in the film was amazing, but we heard there from Steve Scholes, who was shot during a carjacking 1998, just a week before Christmas. Steve has been in a chair for 22 years, and he works with Nature Track. Can you first just tell us the story about how you began to work with people with disabilities like Steve?
Well, sure. Actually, I met Steve before I even founded Nature Track. And then once I formed Nature Track, he joined on to be one of our volunteers and had a limited ability for where he could participate. We only had a few locations that he could actually come to and be involved with the students. It wasn't until we actually did an event at my home and he came to it and we were outside and seeing how hard the actual mulch was to get up a hill prompted my husband to say, you should find something for Steve. And so at that time, I was working with Catherine Boone, who was helping with grants, and she found Freedom Tracks online. And from there, we met up with the distributor, we ordered one, we had Steve do the beta testing for us, and that was February of 2020. And it was the first time he had ever been on, first time back on Hendry's Beach since his accident. From there, he did some testing with the units on different trails, and we realized, you know, we need to expand this. We need to get more tracks and invite other people with disabilities to enjoy nature. We also found out that over the 10 years of field trips, one particular school had booked with us, there was a teacher in a wheelchair who never came on the trips, and we didn't know that. Mm-hmm. So now that teacher has the option to come if she wishes. And children too, that at year-end parties would sit in the parking lot with their aides when other classmates were out on the beach. So beyond our existing program, we will make units available so that students at schools can also participate in their class parties, not just nature track field trips, but really get completely immersed in nature with their friends.
Wow. And you have several trips you take people on, and this is mainly in Southern California, and you provide Freedom Tracks for participants free of charge. It's first come, first serve. You can find more information at naturetrack.org. Mitchka, again, the documentary is just so really important and just really beautifully done. How did you connect with Sue and Nature Track?
Well, actually, we got introduced to Sue through one of my former professors who was at UCSB, Chris Jenkins, who had known Sue for a little bit. And they were looking for someone to help make a video for their new tracks program. And so Sue kind of brought myself and my co-director Francisco on to do that. And then as we were kind of making this video about their new program and filming with the Freedom Tracks, we started to realize this was such a larger topic, and Sue and her team were really interested in further exploring it in an actual short documentary format. And so that's kind of how the impetus of the idea started.
Mitchka, did you know much about this issue before you started this project?
Not at all. I'm ashamed to say I didn't really. And I think that's kind of what actually prompted us to like really want to make it, is that as we started doing this and going out with people on the Freedom Tracks, and we realized just like how crazy it is that we've never thought more about this. You know, when people think about accessibility, usually what comes to their mind is like things in cities, like sidewalks and bathrooms and that type of thing. And I feel like no one in my life had ever talked to me about like getting outdoors and nature and trails and beaches and how people that are limited in mobility are able to still experience those things. And I think that it's important to realize that, like, you know, that's also something that shouldn't be taken away from you just because you happen to have a disability.
It is such a good point, because when we were reading about this, we found a piece in Outside Magazine called A New Adventure Guide for People with Disabilities, and it's about disabledhikers.com. And in the piece, it says, even so-called accessible trails present physical challenges that able-bodied might never consider, such as bumpy boardwalks, inaccessible parking areas, visual barriers at sitting height, let alone the dearth of signage and interpretive programs for people with visual, oral, and other impairments, things that are ostensibly trivial to the able-bodied, such as the size of gravel bits, can be a determining factor for a trail's accessibility with a wheelchair or a rolling walker, but good luck finding that information ahead of time. So to your point, Mitchka, it's not just about, well, is this accessible? There's so many other things that go into this.
Yeah, and I think it was really cool talking to a couple of our interview subjects about this type of thing. Like, for example, Zach Pine, one of our interview subjects, talks about how, you know, we focused a lot on wheelchair users in this documentary, but he brought up the point of, you know, being accessible means different things to a lot of different people. It's not just about wheelchair accessibility. Like, something that's accessible for people with wheelchairs isn't necessarily accessible for people that are deaf or blind or have other types of disabilities. So yeah, it's definitely been a huge learning experience to kind of see how many barriers there actually are and how it's difficult to get people to understand why it's equally as important as other spaces.
Right. That's also what was interesting is we hear a lot about other spaces, like what it will take to ensure that the train station is accessible or a workspace is accessible. But Sue, I mean, you know, you founded Nature Track back in 2011. Access to the outdoors, especially after 2 years of COVID, is just so incredibly important.
Yes, definitely. And I think what we're seeing now is people realize the importance of that. But in the disability area, technology is really catching up. Freedom Tracks is a simple device that connects to any manual wheelchair. So now it really opens up a lot of those trails that were not accessible to a manual wheelchair or to people who couldn't afford one of the high-end track chairs. So it gives them the ability, as we all have, to really enjoy and the benefits of nature. So yeah, now more than ever, nature is important to everyone. And we're seeing that. We're seeing an uptick in our field trip reservations and participation in our program.
Well, if you have a question or a comment for our guest, if you have a disability and experience with accessing the outdoors, we'd love to hear from you. You can give us a call at 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can also email yourcall@kalw.org. In the new documentary, The Accessible Outdoors, disability rights activists share their stories and talk about the importance of having access to nature. And you can see The Accessible Outdoors online. It'll be screened at the Green Film Festival in San Francisco. It runs from April 14th through April 24th. Mitchka Subberry is co-producer of The Accessible Outdoors. Sue Eisiger is founder and director of The Nature Track. It's an organization that provides outdoor field trips for students to connect with nature. Mitchka, when you interviewed people, what really struck you about what it's like when you don't have access to go to the beach, for example, or, you know, experience and enjoy a nature hike? And then once you have access to something like Freedom Tracks and you're able to access this either on your own, as some people did, or with a friend, for example, what really stood out for you in some of your interviews?
I think it was really cool to see kind of the duality of subjects that we interviewed. You know, some people, everyone was kind of at a different place in their journey, maybe with their relationship with nature or their relationship with their disability. We had so many people that we interviewed that have, I think my main takeaway was just had been doing such inspiring work. And I was so glad that we were able to discover a lot of it through doing these interviews. And I think that's been the coolest part for me, is just seeing that there's so many people doing work in this space, like really great work. For example, we interviewed Jesse Bilar, who's a former, like almost pro surfer. And then he got in an accident and has been in a wheelchair. And he started a foundation called Life Rolls On, where they do like skateboarding and surfing events for people with disabilities. And that was like really cool to me to see that someone had kind of been like, you know what? No, I'm not going to just not do the things I love anymore. And then I'm also going to make sure that other people are able to do these things and have these same experiences. So I think that's been definitely the coolest part for me, is just like seeing how many people are really doing such great work around this topic.
Right. That's the other thing that's amazing about this film, is to learn about all of these different projects. For example, we talked about Steve Scholes, who was shot during a carjacking. I mean, so horrific. 1998, a week before Christmas. And he worked on a botanical garden and talked about what it took to ensure that the botanical garden is accessible. Just things like making sure that the walkway is a little bit wider. And then, as you said, Jesse Bilar, a founder of Life Rolls On, who's been in a wheelchair for 25 years. We actually have a clip from Jesse. So let's hear from this clip. And again, this is from the new documentary, short documentary, The Accessible Outdoors.
I grew up in Pacific Palisades near Malibu, and I used to go to the beach all the time when I was a kid, and I noticed, like, people were surfing, and my friend's dad was a surfer, so he took us out one time and just fell in love with it. Just being in the ocean is just so peaceful and relaxing, and just gave me that independence, that freedom that I loved, and just felt good to be in the water. Life Rolls On is quality of life programs where we take people with various disabilities surfing and skateboarding, and it just brings hope and inspiration, and that's pretty much what Life Rolls On is.
Surfing before?
No, this was my first time. It was awesome. I just felt normal because I got to do what everybody else could do. And, well, I enjoyed it so much that I think I want to come every day. At first, when the wave came, I was terrified, but then I was like, oh my God, that was so fun. Let's do it again.
After I got back surfing after my accident, I just had this feeling that I wanted to give back. And I just knew that there's a lot of people in my situation, you know, different disabilities that maybe had never had a chance to get in the water, ride a wave. And I knew that it allowed me to feel something that I lost, that freedom, that independence, that joy, just to be in nature, to have that water splashing on your face, and brought a big smile to my face. And I mean, everyone always just was like, life goes on, life goes on. And I looked down, I was like, oh, you know what? Life rolls on. People that have a disability, whether it's from birth or an accident, they're a human being just like someone who's walking. And someone who's walking wants the ability to experience things, hiking, surfing, traveling. Why wouldn't someone in a wheelchair want that? They do. And it just takes a little bit more planning because everywhere is not accessible. So they have to figure out a good place that's going to work for them.
That is a clip from the documentary that we are talking about today, The Accessible Outdoors. Jesse Ballar is founder of Life Rolls On, and he's been in a wheelchair for 25 years. We're joined today by Mitchka Subbury, co-producer of The Accessible Outdoors. I have to say, Mitchka, I watched that clip so many times because the joy on that young girl's face and just hearing her scream, that was awesome. I mean, it was just so incredible to see that and just to think and hope that, you know, other kids like her could have an experience like that.
Yeah, definitely. Every time we screen the documentary anywhere, that clip of that little girl gets the biggest reaction. And it was so great going to those events and seeing like her entire family was there to like watch. And they were so happy to like hear her talking about it and having such a good time. When she was initially like so hesitant. So it's definitely really cool to be able to like have gone to these events and see some of this stuff happening for the first time for these kids.
Sue, are you hearing from other outdoor organizations? Because I'm just wondering, what will it take to spread this? I mean, it's amazing to learn about these groups doing this great work, but what will it take to ensure that, you know, this is happening in many, many, many cities across the country?
Right. We have heard some from some other outdoor organizations, mostly local here, and they know that one, we will lend them units, but two, they're also looking at getting their own units because they see the importance of it and they see how easy it is to access with a unit similar to what we're using or with the Freedom Tracks and how important it is because they're seeing the reactions of the people that we're taking out. Here locally, they are pursuing the, well, I should say Freedom Tracks, I'm aware that they have actually sold units internationally, orders to Australia, I believe the UK, I'm not sure if I know all of their areas, but, you know, it's going to take some time. I was hoping, you know, my hope is that this film really opens the eyes to many people. And we've had a really nice exposure in the various festivals that it's played. So we're spreading the word that way. But we'll continue to spread it as far and as wide as we can.
What about access to these devices? Because the Freedom Tracks apparatus costs about $6,400. The backup battery is almost $1,000. And Craig sent us a message. What would help is if insurance companies paid for more things for ease of access versus just, quote, necessary for survival. Motorized wheelchairs and wheelblade type off items are often excluded. And Craig linked to this device that basically allows people to attach their wheelchairs to blades so you can actually have some fun in the snow. But these items are expensive. So what about that, Sue? What will it take to get, well, that's the question that so many people have about many things, to get insurance companies to actually cover this.
Right. Well, Freedom Trax is working on that, my understanding. Now, I don't have the exact information about that, but with this newest version, they are on the cusp of getting that. And I don't even know what they had to do to the unit, to getting that approved so that insurance companies may pay for it. So it's looking very promising. I know that through our organization, we went after, and we only survive on grants and donations, but we found many organizations that will fund these units. So please put people in touch with me. I'm more than happy to help. Try to find or connect them with an organization that may be willing to underwrite a unit for them before it, but of course we hope that the insurance companies will come through and start providing funding for this. But I'm more than happy to help. So feel free to give out my information.
Okay, we definitely will. And thank you so much for that important question, Craig. Sue brings up a good point, Michka. It's really all about spreading the word, informing people, you know, letting people know that this is happening, that these devices are available, what we can do to get them in, you know, the hands of more and more people. So can you just tell us, this film is doing really, really well on the festival circuit. What response have you received so far?
It's been amazing so far. We've had a couple screenings and we have a couple more coming up in the next few months. It's been really great. We premiered the film at the Nature Track Film Festival, actually, and a bunch of our subjects were there and a bunch of other people who were wheelchair users attended and got to kind of try out the Freedom Tracks. And we got a really great response there with people really interested in the devices as well as the film. And then we also had a screening in Montana, actually, at Flathead Lake International Cinema Fest, which was an incredible, really great festival. And we had some great attendance at our screenings and a really awesome Q&A after, and people were really engaged. We were kind of surprised how engaged people were with their questions and interests in the film. But I think it just goes to show that it's really just something where, unfortunately, able-bodied people are not forced to think about these things as much. And it's, hopefully it takes something like this for them to be like, oh, actually this is something I should really care about, not only when it affects me or someone I love, but just on the concept, like, you know, we should all be thinking about how to increase access to the outdoors, not just if it directly affects us.
Yeah, it's such a good point. Sue, what is the best way for all of us to become advocates? When we saw this film as part of the festival, I took my mom to the Japanese tea garden and she just had a surgery, so I have to help her walk. And so many parts of that tea garden were hard for her to access. And I thought, wow, if she were in a wheelchair, this would be really difficult. So obviously talking to people at the tea garden is one way, but what are some other ways for people to become advocates?
Oh, I think just by talking about the issues, about being able to direct people to the right resources. And to also emphasize the importance of nature for everyone, so that people realize that, you know, if they're activists for our environment, the more people we connect with the outdoor world through whatever means that is, the better chance we have of protecting it. Because it's simple human nature to protect something if you love it, if you enjoy it, if you understand it. And so it's taking that extra step to understand then the accessibility issues that are there in nature. And now that technology is catching up, it's becoming easier to give all accessibility levels access to the world, to the natural world, that is. So I think it's becoming more knowledgeable about what's out there, and then really directing people to where they can get information.
And finally, Sue, how has your work and your field trips changed now that people with disabilities can take part and enjoy the outdoors with all of you?
It's brought another level of joy. I mean, when I started Nature Track just for K-12 students, it was phenomenal. We loved being outdoors with the students, all of our volunteers, we got the benefit. But now we've taken that to a new level to see the enjoyment of people who have not been on the beach their entire lives. We had a young woman in her 30s, oh, I think it was last month, and it was the first time in her life that she was on the beach. So to be able to bring that joy and that connection to people has just really brought overall happiness to Nature Track and all of our volunteers.
Wow, first time on the beach. That's amazing.
Another gentleman, it was his first time picking up the shell. Mm-hmm. And it was his first time on the beach the month before when he came to one of our outdoor activities. So it's really amazing and heartwarming.
Sue, can you stay with us for a few more minutes? We have a question about the Freedom Tracks.
Sure. Yes.
And Mitchka, I know we have to let you go. So thank you so much for your work on this. And, you know, it's also been interesting to read about your other work, and we look forward to the films you make in the future. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been great.
Mitchka Subberry is co-producer of The Accessible Outdoors and a documentarian with Golden Cage Films in Los Angeles. You can watch The Accessible Outdoors. It'll screen online at the Green Film Festival in San Francisco. It runs from April 14th through April 24th. Sue, we have an email from Alan who says, can you please describe the track's device, the kind of mechanism, and just talk more about how it's used and what advantages it provides?
Oh, yes. So picture a tank track. It's having two small tank tracks, and your manual wheelchair rolls up onto that, and then you lock in your front wheels, and it's battery operated and with a joystick so that you're holding or it's attached to your wheelchair. And so you operate it with a joystick, or if the person is unable to operate it with their hands, if they don't have dexterity or they can't use their hands, then of course, somebody can walk next to you and operate the joystick. But otherwise it attaches right to your manual chair. And these units fit most any manual chair. You can widen them just with the measurements of the wheels. Gosh, it's just, it's 70 pounds. It's very small. It's approximately 2.5 feet by 3 feet, a little bit bigger, but easy to transport. You can travel with them just as you do with any electric wheelchair. But these are meant so that once you're at your location, you now have the option of having your manual chair, as well as then the freedom of having your track chair with you.
Well, thank you for that question. And you can find more information at freedomtracks.com, TRAX.com. Well, Sue, thank you so much for all the great work that you do. It's really an incredible documentary. And thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Sue Eisiger is founder and director of Nature Track. She founded Nature Track in 2011 to provide outdoor field trips for students to connect with nature. Until recently, they did not have a way to include students, teachers, or volunteers with disabilities. And after Sue and her team founded the Freedom Tracks device, everyone was able to independently enjoy beaches and trails. Coming up after a break, we will be joined by Bonnie Lukowitz. Bonnie is a disability rights advocate who is featured in the documentary, The Accessible Outdoors. This is Your Call. We'll be back after this. This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Coming up tomorrow, we will continue discussing films featured at this year's Green Film Fest. We will talk about a film called Do I Need This? The average American home contains 300,000 objects. How is this impacting us and the planet. And then we'll talk about a report from Oxfam. It found the richest 1% of the world's population are responsible for more than twice as much carbon pollution as the poorest half of humanity. So we hope you can join us for that. Today, we are talking about another incredible film, The Accessible Outdoors. And our next guest, Bonnie Lukowitz, is featured in The Accessible Outdoors. Bonnie is a disability rights advocate, director of Access Northern California, a nonprofit specializing in accessible travel and recreation. Bonnie also authored an access guide to San Francisco and a book called accessible trails called A Wheelchair Rider's Guide, San Francisco Bay and the nearby coast. Bonnie Lukowitz also co-founded Axis Dance Company, an internationally acclaimed company of dancers with and without disabilities. The Axis Dance Company pledges to work towards full accessibility for all. Hi, Bonnie. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. Well, you've been working on improving access to the outdoors for some time now. And it was interesting to learn about the apparatus that connects to wheelchairs, the Freedom Tracks apparatus. So can you talk about, you know, when you look at your work over the last, let's say, 10 years, what has really improved when it comes to accessing the outdoors?
Sure. Yeah, this is work that I've been doing for about 3 decades now. And my philosophy since I'm becoming disabled, this Friday will be 50 years, is to be the change you want to see in the world. And getting out in nature was really important to me. And having my accident didn't change that. And I was kind of chomping at the bit listening to the interviews that you just did, because I want to make sure that people understand you don't need highly technical, expensive equipment to get out into nature. Because it is somewhat of a barrier because of the expense. Sometimes transporting the equipment is not possible. And I just want to encourage people to know that just getting outside for a walk in their neighborhood is getting out in nature and has value as well. That being said, yes, because of the improvements in technology, people are able to go places that probably they thought unimaginable if you do have the right equipment. And so as things are becoming more and more accessible equipment-wise, people are wanting greater access to the outdoors.
Do you find that what insurance covers is also changing? Because I'm glad you brought up that point, that you can access and enjoy the outdoors without these expensive, this expensive equipment. And Craig wrote in and asked that question, what will it take to get insurance to cover things like this?
Well, I hate to be a pessimist, but Medicare currently will not even pay for a wheelchair for outdoor use. They will buy a wheelchair for indoor use in your home. So if you need a wheelchair to access the outdoors, but you can get around fine just walking around in your home, they won't buy you a wheelchair. So I don't see that happening anytime soon. I know there's a woman back east that's really fighting to get exercise equipment. And she's gone all the way up the chain, I know, with Blue Shield, and they basically, you know, close the door on that and, you know, are not going to cover exercise equipment. But yet they would maybe cover, you know, a person going to a gym to get exercise. So there's a real disconnect around equipment and its value for people with disabilities and how we don't have access to it on an everyday basis.
And according to the latest numbers, 54 million people, or almost 20% of the population, have a disability. This includes people who are deaf, blind, in wheelchairs, people with cognitive disabilities, heart and lung conditions, degenerative diseases that impair activities. That's a lot of people, 54 million people.
It is. And, you know, as our population is aging, that's only increasing. And, you know, quite often people that are aging don't consider themselves to having a disability. It's just a part of the aging process. yet they're going to need some of the access features that, you know, those of us that were advocating for accessibility laws have fought for, but they don't necessarily identify as that. So my guess is that that number is quite a bit higher.
Mm. Well, what actually works when you think about advocacy these days, Bonnie, given all the crises that we face right now around this particular issue, what's most effective?
You know, it's kind of interesting. I've seen a kind of a paradigm shift. I know that when I was starting to do work some 40 years ago, before there were laws, the approach was, well, this is the right thing to do. People with disabilities are people. We should have access to all the same things that everyone else does. And then when the laws got passed, it was more about, well, this is the law. You have to do this. And I think we've almost come full circle, because I think with, what's been happening in the last few years with diversity and equity and access to everything, basically, and this recognition that there has been a lot of discrimination against various populations that prevent access to things. And so I think there is kind of an awakening now that, yes, we should make things accessible because it is the right thing to do.
Right. In the film, Bonnie, you tell viewers that you broke your neck in an all-terrain vehicle as a teenager, and you're coming up on your 50th anniversary?
Yeah. Income tax day. I figure I paid my dues for the rest of my life.
Well, and in the film, you say that people ask you how you, quote, overcame your disability, but you say you didn't overcome it. You learned how to live with it.
Yeah, because as I say in the film, when you overcome something, it goes away. You're not dealing with it anymore. I live with my disability 18 hours a day. And it's always there, but it doesn't become the foremost thing in my thoughts on a daily basis. I just kind of move through life with it. I think it's kind of like, grieving a partner that you've lost or something. It's always there, but it doesn't take up the major part of your life.
We're speaking,
and everyone has a different reaction to it. You know, that's
right.
Just my own personal experience.
You know, in the film, it was really incredible to learn about all the great work that's being done out there, learning about people who are working to ensure that botanical gardens are accessible, that walkways are wider. It must be also, I mean, it's like we've come far, but we have so far to go. And I just wonder how you think about those issues. Like Jesse Ballar, the founder of Life Rolls On, to ensure that people with disabilities can have a surfing or a skateboarding experience and to see the joy on that little girl's face. So as someone who's been doing this for so long, it must be so great to see so many people involved, and yet there's so much more that we have to do.
Yes. And what I have been working on for most of my life is the information barrier that doesn't really get addressed, because it's even really challenging and sometimes a futile attempt at trying to even find where someone can go and find accessibility. So most, just thinking about nature and outdoor recreation, most park land management agencies do not have information on their websites, which, as we know, is where most people go first when they're researching, to find out anything about what's the accessibility like. And so that's what I have been doing for the last 20 years, is collecting that data and putting it onto a website. But up until last year, it was the first time I was ever able to find funding to address that barrier. And most funding agencies do not understand, I'll say understand, that getting information is, I think, one of the first steps to getting out there.
where is this information? Can people access it?
Yeah. So I know in the beginning you said that I have an organization, Access Northern California, but several years ago, I actually merged that organization with Bay Area Outreach and Recreation Program, BORP, right here in Berkeley. And we provide adapted sports and recreation programs to people primarily with physical disabilities and who have vision disabilities. And my program, Access Northern California, is a website that I maintain of over 100 accessible parks and trails in Northern California, mostly at this point, still coastal region, because I had funding from the Coastal Conservancy. And that, do you want me to give the website, the web address?
Yes, please.
Okay, so it can be gotten to through the BORP website, BORP.org, or you can go to accessessn.org.
All right, thank you. And we also have that link at yourcallradio.org. We have a couple questions. Mark writes, please do not forget us lowly cane users. Mm-hmm. Just because you put in a ramp does not mean you can get rid of the stairs. In my case, ramps are painful. Steps are not.
Absolutely. There, you know, access is not universal. When the codes were written, they were looked at from a broad range of disabilities, and not everyone. And that's the other thing too, is accessibility means different things to different people. Hmm. And what I try to do is present enough information so that someone can make a decision for themselves whether it's going to meet their needs. Just calling something accessible, it's kind of like, for me, a yellow light. Proceed with caution, try and find more information. So if anyone's out there listening and they work for, you know, any land management agencies or anyone in particular, any businesses, try and give a little more information other than just accessibility. I bet most people don't even know that if they've noticed the blue wheelchair, international wheelchair symbol at a business at the door, only means the doorway is accessible. It doesn't mean once you get in, you're going to be able to use the bathroom. Hmm. So more information is the key. I think it's the key to empowerment. Hmm.
Well, thank you for that email, Mark. Alan says, I had a friend who was in a wheelchair and he was easily mobile around the neighborhoods of Berkeley, but not in the parks. He became an occasional kayaker on San Francisco Bay, which I hope was a relief and cool outlet for him. Thank you for that email, Alan. Let's hear from a caller. Let's go to Greg in Palo Alto. Hi, Greg. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you. I'm sorry for the feedback. I appreciate what your guests are talking about. I'm glad that there is this program or set up for people with disabilities. I happen to be disabled. I just wanted to bring up an additional point. We're talking about the Americans with Disabilities Act. I think that probably was mentioned. That's access, physical access is one aspect of the ADA. Where I've run into problems is there's another part of the ADA which deals with reasonable accommodations and reasonable modifications, where somebody would ask a government entity or a private entity for some kind of accommodation. Let's say you couldn't get into a building, you'd ask them to put in a ramp or whatever. That part of the ADA is ignored by governments and private businesses, and the only way that you can usually get enforcement of that is to through the legal route, through the courts. And so I'm glad that people are doing what they're doing with this program, but that's another side of the ADA that doesn't get any mention at all, and it's really a significant problem. So thank you.
Thank you.
And, you know, if I could just add to that another aspect that is missing and which can't be regulated is people's attitudes. You know, I have gone to places that will bend over backwards to try and make. I just recently went to a botanical gardens up in Napa Skyline Wilderness area. We got to the botanical gardens, and inside the gate, there was like a 4-inch drop off. And I knew that I wouldn't be able to get back out. And I flagged down maintenance work. Well, that was a maintenance worker. He turned out to be the supervisor of the park. And he was just so willing to go get whatever it took to make it so that we could get in and out of the gate, and said that he was going to make it permanent. And so an attitude like that goes such a long way. So it's the attitudinal barriers that oftentimes can be the biggest challenges.
Wow, right. And I bet you've experienced it all, Bonnie.
Oh, yeah. And then some.
Do you find, though, that that is changing now that, like you say, issues around equity are being discussed regularly? Documentaries like this are getting out there. Do you find that that's getting better attitudes?
I think so, but I think my experience has been that equity has really focused on racial equity. And disability has been missing from that conversation. That being said, I also think that we live in kind of a unique part of the country. Right. And I think here in the Bay Area, yes, I think there's much more awareness because people can get out and do things. Mm-hmm. And in other parts of the country, not so much.
What is at the, I mean, given that you've been doing this work for decades, what are some issues that you're still working on? What are some of the changes that you'd still like to see?
Well, I think the biggest one is the lack of information. And also, I think hiring people with disabilities to work in the outdoors. You know, we all know the value of seeing someone that looks like you to make you feel welcome. So I think that is still lacking. But I think the biggest one is the information barrier.
And what would you like to see change around that? I mean, the documentary like The Accessible Outdoors, and it's really getting rave reviews from so many festivals, which is great. And then doing shows like this, what else can we do to crack that barrier?
Well, I think you mentioned earlier about being an ally or being an advocate. So if you are someone, you know, that doesn't have the need for accessibility, but also maybe to just point out where there is something lacking, to take note of it and to work with your disabled peers or community members, get involved in, you know, volunteer with Bay Area Outreach and Recreation Program has an adventures and outings program where we take people out with an accessible vehicle, which, you know, transportation is also a huge barrier for people that need wheelchair access. You know, we can't just call up an Uber and, you know, go to the park.
Right.
So, you know, get involved, be a volunteer with our cycling. We have a huge adaptive cycling program. We're starting a kayaking program. Find out what's in your area and also let people know when you find that out. You know, so you have a neighbor that has a disability and you become aware of something, let them know about it.
This is such a good point, Bonnie, because you just made me realize my dad uses a walker. And I just, he can't do a lot of things right now. He just had a major surgery. My mom had a major surgery. She's having a problem walking. So you're right, that 54 million number is probably just way too low. And then you think about the people connected to people with disabilities, like
right.
children, friends, people who help out. It's probably triple that number when you factor in all of that.
It's probably 2 degrees of separation.
Right. Such a good point. And you also reminded me, we had Nadina Laspina on the show a couple of years ago, another incredible disability rights activist, when we actually were still in the studio. And she was having a hard time getting to the studio because no one had a van. And she said, I don't know if I'm going to make it in time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Transportation is really problematic. You know, and one of the silver linings to come out of COVID is all of the things that people could do virtually if they had access to a computer, of course. And, you know, I watch so many nature shows and yeah, it does not replace being out there, but it makes you feel involved and connected still. Mm. And I'm hoping that that aspect of things won't go away.
Finally, Bonnie, the other thing that stood out for me in the accessible outdoors is people said when people with disabilities have access to nature, they also become stewards of the land and become more active in wanting to protect nature.
Yes, that was something that I had said. And I'm right now trying to design a program that will help more people learn about our environment. And one of the women that I'm working with on that, Judith Smith, who actually was one of the co-founders also of Access Dance, just got her California Naturalist certification and couldn't do it previously because they were holding it in inaccessible places, but was able to do it this past year because she was able to do it virtually mostly. So it's our goal to try and get more people involved in the environmental movement, because I think, again, people with disabilities are really left off of the environmental justice picture. And we're going to be impacted greatly with climate change.
Ah, so true. And I would love to do an entire show about that. Well, Bonnie, thank you so much for your important work. And thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. And everyone, get out there and enjoy nature.
Yes. And we'll definitely have you back, Bonnie, to talk about environmental justice and how we can ensure that people with disabilities are in that conversation and have a seat at that table.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Bonnie Lukowitz is a disability rights advocate featured in the short documentary, The Accessible Outdoors, which you can watch online. It'll screen at the Green Film Festival in San Francisco, running from April 14th through April 24th. Bonnie is director of Access Northern California and is also involved with the Bay Area Outreach and Recreation Program. You can find out more about all of our guests and the film at yourcallradio.org. Thanks to B. Saul for producing today's show. Thanks to Kevin Vance for engineering the show. Thank you for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's Your Call.